Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlees Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
Saturday morning, you would expect him to be behind the microphone, and I will introduce the one, the only, Larry Glass. Good morning,
Charlie,
sir.
Charlie, good morning. How are you?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, regardless of the whether it's hot or cold or windy or calm. I get to talk garden stuff with you on a Saturday morning.
Yes, I do wish you would exercise a bit more moderation on the weather.
Oh, you'd like it to be spring all the time, or pleasant 76 degrees year round?
At least to the point where I don't need a sledgehammer to plant a petunia.
Okay, so
that
so
ground is frozen.
The rain will never fall till after sundown. By 8 a.m., the morning dew has flown. They called it Camelot.
Yeah. Well, I'll get caught up on some other things.
Okay.
Anyway, it's okay. The weather, the moisture in the soil is pretty good right now. Spring will begin shortly.
Yes. So somewhere around about the middle of March, according to the calendar.
Right. And water your stuff right now, of course. Only if you need it, actually.
Okay.
Well, that's we're a foregone conclusion that you don't need the water now.
We have gotten more precipitation this year than many winters, but nonetheless, winter we don't get a lot of moisture. So
Yeah, I know the our anticipated precipitation versus what has actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great disparity between the two, in our favor, of course.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Yes, it is.
We really like a lot of moisture going into the spring. That means we're going to have some really great growth on our plants.
Okay.
And the flowers are going to put on a nice show. The daffodils are just waiting in the wings, mm-hmm. and for the weather to break. And so I think it's going to be a beautiful spring.
Well, it is the Valentine's Day time of year, so
it's time to get out those chainsaws and those hedge clippers, get them oiled up and ready to go.
Yeah.
Because when the weather does moderate, it's supposed to do somewhat this next week, I believe.
Yeah, we'll see how it looks out. Yeah.
Look at Wednesday. Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
It'll be a mud bath, but nonetheless.
We'll see how this is Saturday, so Wednesday we could change four times between now and what the forecast says on that piece of paper.
Half a chance of rain on Monday, thank you. And Monday night and sunny Tuesday. We're actually going to see the sun.
Yes.
So anyway, always check first before you water when you water your stuff, see if it needs it. The clay content of our soil stores water very well. So you won't need your irrigation system for quite some time.
Oh.
Well, speaking of which, we're in the middle of one right now, and it's difficult to dig when it's icy.
Yes.
So that's sort of an ongoing thing, but good time to plant trees.
I was going to say, it's a good time to plant trees once you can dig the hole. But you speak a lot of things, again, going on with the St. Valentine's Day massacre. And so what do we trim and what do we not trim?
Well, trim your summer blooming things, like crepe myrtles, Rose of Sharon, whatnot. Trim back the hollies. We were at a house yesterday, and we're going through what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
We have a customer for whom we do the massacre every year.
Okay.
And he's got a Yopon holly that's kind of overstepped its bounds a little bit.
Yeah. Back up.
And it's going to be really cut back. And then there's a dwarf Burford holly hedge to the right of that, where it's to the point where it's at its maximum height, where you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we were discussing that in our walkthrough yesterday with my people, that we're going to cut it back about anywhere from 6 to 8 inches below the point which it is now.
Okay.
So when it does grow, you have some fresh foliage on it. So it looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a little tired at this point. And a lot of people's hedges, when they've been clipped at the same elevation so many times, you have such a very thin veneer of leaves.
Mm-hmm. The rest of it is just that wood that gets it up to the right height, and then you got about an inch of leaves.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
And then it suffers appearance when it's trimmed because you're still stuck with the old leaves after you trim off the new stuff. So... Mm-hmm. Cut it back further this year. Keep in mind what species it is, and you cut it down below the point which you anticipated growing that one year. For instance, if you have a boxwood, they'll grow, say, 3 or 4 inches in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this rather thin veneer of leaves on it. Well, you want to cut it back that much. And it's going to look somewhat skeletonized
initially. Somebody's going to say, but I just cut off every leaf that there's on that plant. How is it going to grow?
Yeah. They will put on some new leaves.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that. And sometimes, if the boxwood is not too old, you can cut it back rather sternly, and it'll refresh from lower to the ground and come on up.
Okay.
So they're very resilient plants, actually.
Good.
We've done that before, where we just cut them to the nibs all the way to the ground almost, and they come back. It takes it a while. I did some to mine. They've been in the ground 10 years, and I did that last year, and they look okay. I mean, and they're coming back, so...
But I'm sure the wife went out and yelled, "What did you do to it? There's no leaves on it left."
She never knows what to expect at our house. So it's however they have been reduced in size, and they are better suited for their location at this point. So
okay,
they do need to be disciplined somewhat, if you will. And on the other hand, I have let some boxwoods just grow to their full potential, and I've trimmed a couple of them up into little miniature trees. Mm-hmm. They're kind of cool looking, specimen kind of plant. And that allows you to grow some other things around them, some annuals, for instance, or some perennials around your boxwoods if you do trim them up like that. And it makes a bit more of a decorative thing rather than just a static green thing. I mean, you can take a cardboard box and paint it green sometimes and make them look even better than the boxwood plants.
Okay.
But by letting them sort of grow... somewhat naturally, I think it introduces a little bit more texture into the landscape, and some interest in that scale. So anyway, the point is, it is time to cut things back. Now, hollies, also the same way, we mentioned that. Burning bush, cut them back relatively low.
Okay.
If you do want to maintain them in this sphere, if you will. but once again, I like to let them grow naturally. I cut my burning bush back about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
They were, and I did... selective cutting. I didn't get out the diesel-powered hedge clippers.
Oh, you did it the old-fashioned way.
And there was a certain diameter, say, bigger than your little finger.
Mm-hmm.
Anything above that was cut way back. And that keeps it looking fresh. You don't have this old, clubby growth. It keeps it looking fresh and nice that way, and it does give you some better leaf color in the fall.
Okay.
By having leaves that are on newer coming out branches. So anyway, burning bush, cut them back also. Yaupon hollies, it's time for a lot of people have yaupon hollies that have, they're real nice when you get them. This multi-trunk thing, really attractive. And then they've fallen into neglect, and they're into the house. So they can be cut back at this point in time also.
Good.
They need a correction now and then too. You do want to maintain, when you do cut back your yaupon hollies, somewhat of a structure. The branching structure, you do want to maintain that. That's typically the reason why we put them in, was for this interesting twisting branches on them with a very fine textured foliage on the top. That's one of the primary reasons for people planting yaupon hollies, is that decorative branching structure.
Okay.
So you want to try to preserve that as much as don't go too far with it. Just try to maintain some of that. And then when you do cut them, don't cut them flat across the top. You choose different elevations and heights rather than a single cutoff point. That will allow for more interest or more variance in the canopy and all that.
It's a holly, not a hedge, yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So try not to be so unilateral with them. Just give them a little bit of potential to create some kind of shape.
Okay.
So, kind of the same thing with crepe myrtles. Some people are ritualistic, just... Whoosh,
yep.
Well, they're not going into the Marines.
Okay.
So you do do some vertical striation or vertical variance in the point with which it's cut. So another thing, we talked about clematis vines last week.
We did.
And we do emphasize that early pruning of the clematis vines, just so when they do come out, you don't waste all that effort on growth that's going to be cut off. And you'll have much better blooms that way by cutting it back at this point.
Okay. So just again, if you took it back to the scaffolds a few months ago, then you're probably okay.
But the daffodils are up. And
yeah.
They're also exhibiting some blooms. And there's one plant species that's up, and some people really don't recognize. I was at somebody's house west of town, and it's lycoris bulbs were coming up. And we were walking around talking about his trees. I said, oh, your lycoris are up. And he looked, what's that? He thought I was getting personal.
Right.
But no, lycorises are what we call the naked ladies.
Right.
Or the surprise lilies is another word for them. Mm-hmm. And they're coming up right now. And you can tell them, the lycoris, you can tell the difference between them and the daffodils in the width of the leaf coming up.
Okay.
And also how they're oriented. They're all parallel coming out of the ground. Very tightly parallel. Mm-hmm. And then they quickly curl outwards, if you will,
kind of like
as they come up.
Do a fleur-de-lis
thing. Yeah, fleur-de-lis kind of thing, exactly. Yeah. And they're about 3 inches tall at this point, the lycoris are. So anyway, they're coming up. And if you see it, I said, golly, you've got them all over the place. He said, I don't know what they are. Just cut all the stuff. Don't cut it back, no. Maybe we might consider maybe transplanting them to somewhere where you don't want to run over them with the mower. So you'll have all these beautiful blooms. And we're doing some landscape work for them, so we'll probably relocate those lycoris in with the behind the shrubs, perhaps, to where they can come up and do their leaves and all that. You don't see them, mm-hmm. and then the flowers all of a sudden pop up.
Okay.
So
now, are they rhizomatous? I mean, or do they come from a bulb or what?
Yeah, they're bulb.
Okay.
Uh-huh. A true bulb, yes. And they do a very good job of spreading around, too. And I've seen people spraying with weed killers and say, what are you doing?
Well, it didn't come up where you wanted it.
So anyway, those are coming up now. The hyacinths are up, mm-hmm. up and coming up. The tulips, they're a little late, but they'll be up.
Yeah.
They develop and grow rather quickly, so don't worry about them.
Okay.
So spring is on its way.
All right, we will do our best to encourage it to bloom and to do well when we continue. 800-749-5936, and everybody gets you on Green Country Gardener. Brent Walker's in from United Rentals, and Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses, so we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Have you got the winter blues? Make your home feel like summer with tropical plants from Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Green Thumb, as you know, is the home to the largest selection of tropical plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420. Anniversary coming up? Call K1 at 918-336-1001 or email radio at bartlesvilleradio.com with the names and dates, because each morning we announce anniversaries and select one couple to win a $10 gift certificate from Sterling's Grill, helping you celebrate that special anniversary. Call us 918-336-1001 or email radio at bartlesvilleradio.com with the name and date, and we'll add it to our list. Happy anniversary from your friends at K1.
A telephone number that gets you onto Green Country Gardener on a Saturday morning. We are here talking with Larry Glass as we anticipate spring. The calendar still says winter, but the week of Valentine's Day, it's a good day to do a lot of trimming out there, weather and gardener willing.
It's a pretty good time to plant trees. If you want a fairly large tree, you need to put it in an order.
Okay.
Because they're grown all over the country.
And while you can't have some in stock most of the time,
we do have some in stock now.
This is the best time for you to acquire trees custom for what people want.
They are dormant all the way, and they're starting to dig them up, and inventories are getting available. So you have a kind of a special tree you might want to order, or a big one.
Mm-hmm.
We have actually somebody bought five of them, and I wanted to deliver them yesterday, but they weren't ready yet. The main reason why I wanted to deliver them is they're big and heavy. They're going in the backyard, and the ground was frozen.
Yes.
It would have been great. Our little wagon would have just gone right across the yard without any problems. Now we're going to have to make a plywood road to get to the backyard.
Because this time of year, when the when it is temperate, frequently the ground is moist.
Exactly. But we have workarounds so we don't do some peripheral damage when delivering trees. I just hope the root balls are so big.
Mm-hmm.
There's five of them. I hope they fit through the gate.
Well, we'll start calling you Hercules. We'll let you carry them.
No, I've been through that. No, I don't want to do that. Then we got a new truckload of Happy Frog potting soil.
That's great stuff.
In yesterday.
Okay.
And it came, it's the funniest thing, though, came in from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was warm when they loaded the pallets onto the truck.
Oh, I think I can hear this one coming. Yeah.
Yeah, he got here to Bartlesville. And the condensation between the pallet and the bed of the truck had frozen, and they were stuck solid to the bed of the truck.
You have to warm.
There we were out in that, 15-degree weather, 12-degree weather, whatever it was, yesterday morning early. And having to break those pallets loose with a pry bar.
Mm.
Cracked. And you can hear when they snap, they just crack.
Then
they snap loose of that ice. Then we were able to pull them out.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, that took, and the truck driver was a little frustrated at first until he saw what we had to go through to get them out of there. So anyway, we've got a good supply of that Happy Frog, and we have some other organic type fertilizers and things on hand
now. We haven't talked about Happy Frog for a while. It's a great line of products. You were talking about the potting soil, but it's just a good soil amendment that comes in a little bit smaller bag just to add texture and micronutrients, or at least the way I'm going to think of it, kind of in the form of bat guano and a few other things.
Bat guano and mycorrhizal stuff too, and so it's all good for the soil. Basically, when you consider the soil being a living entity rather than just a media through which plants are grown,
mm-hmm.
it gives you a lot more stuff. It encourages that liveliness of the soil, if you will. So anyway, consider some of that too when planting stuff. I've experimented with this stuff and had very good luck with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to look at that. I was at a customer's house also, and they've been having bad luck with their fruit trees the last few years.
Really?
Well, they were planted in a sea horizon subsoil.
Okay.
Which is, you've got topsoil and B horizon, which is below the C horizon, is just the stuff they build roads on, you know. You got a caller?
We do have a caller.
All righty.
Good morning. You're on the air with Larry Glass on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning, caller?
Yes, sir, Mr. Glass. I've got a place on Grand Lake.
Uh-huh.
We have a problem growing grass.
Oh, yeah.
In one spot, it don't get a lot of sun. There's a house on one side. On the other side, there's a bush. What do we need to do? What kind of grass?
Probably either zoysia or fescue grass would work in that situation. What kind of trees are around in that particular area? Oaks primarily, I would say, probably.
Most of them are oaks. There's a peach tree, and then there's a fig tree.
Yeah. Your pH, your soil pH might be a bit off, too.
Check the pH.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And what kind of fertilizer should we put on it?
Just a good general purpose fertilizer for that. They do it rather well. Grass, it's not too picky. However, if you do have a nitrogen deficiency in the soil, which is probably more than likely the case, you probably want to use something with a bit of high nitrogen level. Say a 16-8-8 or a 20-10-3 or something like that, with that first number being relatively high.
Gotcha. So now, I've noticed here in some of the ditches, we live in a rural area.
Yeah.
The grass grows almost all year, and it don't get hardly any sun.
Right. In the ditches, it does fine, right. You try to grow it in your yard, what happens? It doesn't work.
There you go. Or sidewalk.
Yeah, exactly.
The soil could also be compacted. A lot of construction probably went on over there at some point in time, and the soil might just might be compacted too. Lack of
take a tiller before we plant.
Yeah, I would. You take a shovel and dig it up and just kind of see if it's really heavily packed and see what's going on.
We can handle that.
Add a fair amount of compost in there.
Yeah, some compost in there, or you can use some decomposed leaves. Works rather well, too. And it so any kind of organic material like that will work very, very well. And also, when you do dig up some soil over there, look for grub worms. If there are a lot of grubs in the area, they can cause a decline in the grass as well.
What about regular just earthworms?
Earthworms?
Yeah.
If you got those, you're in good shape.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, being close to Grand Lake, being close to Grand Lake too, you probably catch some fish with that.
Get what?
You probably use them for fishing too, I guess. If you got some earthworms.
Yes.
But yeah,
well,
check it out.
Thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much, caller.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good luck on getting your grass to grow. But I think Larry gave you some good tips. Yeah.
We have experienced that in the past, and there's a few people for whom we've done some work in town.
Okay.
You cannot grow grass. They try, I think I can, but they just can't. It just won't grow. And you take a shovel in the ground and dig it up, and it was just, parking lot. And that happens a lot around construction sites because all these big, this heavy machinery goes in and artificially packs the soil down. And then, everything's fine. You put some grass seed down and nothing happens.
Okay, now let's assume that the gentleman follows your advice. And first of all, nice, good, loose soil that maybe with some compost or texture to it somewhere along the line. He plants his grass seed and at least initially applies some fertilizer. Does he need to go back, say, 2-3 weeks on down the road once it's up and reapply, just fertilize the hound out of it? Or?
Right, depending on the species of grass.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're planting fescue seed, you want to put it down. If February, end of this month, first of March, you want to get it down by St. Patrick's Day and get it going.
Okay.
So get that going, and you do fertilizer applications on fescue grass, typically during the cooler months.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you stop fertilizing mid-May or so, and let it go kind of semi-dormant for the summer, and then in September, late September, October, November, December, it's time to refertilize again.
Okay, so again, plant it and forget it, I guess is what I was trying to get at. Yeah.
And you also, when you do plant grass seed, you want to have a means by which it can be irrigated on a regular basis. Because typically you can't predict our weather. Either it'll rain real hard and it'll wash it all away, or or it won't rain at all. So we have to have a way to water. And fescue grass is typically up in 7 to 10 days, depending on the weather. And it'll take root. Now, if you really have a problem with erosions on a slope, you might want to consider mixing in some annual rye with your fescue because it's up typically in 3 days, and it'll hold the soil real well.
Okay.
That or use some straw, not hay, but straw, wheat straw.
Mm-hmm.
And it does a very good job of controlling erosion on an area after you've applied grass seed.
Okay.
Another alternative, of course, would be to put in sod, which is instant. And we've had very good luck with that. But timing is very critical. There's some times of the year when you don't want to do sod, and that's late June, July and August, and first part of September. You don't want to generate. It's not even available. They don't release it anyway then.
But it still takes some soil prep. You can't just...
It does take soil prep. You can't just... It's not like rolling out a carpet. It's a living entity, and it has to have roots that go into the ground. And your shady grasses do have to have a fairly extensive root system to support that top growth in the lack of light. And you also want to mow it relatively high, 3 inches high on your fescue lawn in the shade.
Which is typically not where a lot of people around here mow the rest of their lawn.
No. Yeah, you see these Bermuda lawns that are really nice. They cut about, that tall.
Yeah.
I had that when I used to live in Tulsa, in my front yard. I kept it mowed at 3/4 of an inch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was perfectly flat. I rolled it and put it in a little small yard, about as big as this room. It wasn't, it was easy to maintain.
Right.
Even had a greens mower for it. So much fun. And it was just like a putting green. And people would walk by and rub their hand. They couldn't believe it. It's just old U3 Bermuda grass.
Yeah.
But there's some cultural practices involved with that. It had to be mowed every other day.
Wow.
Except to keep it like that. And it was fun, it's a bit of a hobby, if you will. But anyway, getting back to the shady grasses, they do need to be mowed, kept maintained fairly tall for them to work real well. And your soil has to be pretty good and loose.
Okay.
prior to doing the planting. And your chemistry has to be pretty close to what they call for, which is a neutral pH, a little bit of nitrogen and so on in the soil.
And
then it'll do just fine.
With the likelihood of those oak trees where he was talking about, that gentleman will likely have to amend the pH.
I would venture to say, yes, that some agricultural land will need to be applied to the soil
okay. In
order to do a correction. Now, that the quantity you put on there is based on the your current soil pH and your target pH. So there's I don't remember the formula, 100 pounds per 1,000 square feet. We'll raise it 1 point, something like that. So, 100 pounds per 1,000 square feet. Yeah, raise it up 1 point. So, and then you base it on that. So if you're at, say your pH is at 5.5, you need to go up 1.5 points on your pH. So, okay. Et cetera, et cetera. So just like that.
Okay. One problem hopefully down the drain, but, and we'll take another problem. 800-749-5936. Locally, 918-336-1400. We will continue in just a moment.
Not flourishing? Consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod, Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
If you're planning a painting project, head over to Peters True Value and Dewey for a great deal. Right now, buy a gallon of Easy Care Ultra Premium Paint and get a 3-pack of Master Painter Best Roller Covers for free. A $10 value. Easy Care Ultra Premium Interior Paint is paint and primer in one and available in over 1,200 eye-catching colors. And their 5-ply woven roller covers provide superb application on semi-smooth surfaces. Stop by Peters True Value and Dewey today. Excludes Easy Care 365. Limit 5 1-gallon cans or 1 5-gallon pail per household. Consumer is responsible for all taxes and fees. See store for details. Offer ends soon.
KWON loves birthdays. Each morning, we announce all area birthdays, and one name is chosen to receive a certificate for a birthday meal from one of the following great restaurants: Dean's Real Pit Barbecue, Sterling's Grill, and Freddy's Steak Burgers and Frozen Custard. If you or someone you know has an upcoming birthday, call us at 918-336-1001 and give us the details. We'll announce their name and maybe choose them as our daily winner in our KWON Birthday Club.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Is what they think about me. Ain't gonna stop cause they tell me so.
800-749-5936, locally 918-336-1400, the telephone number that gets you on to Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. And we always enjoy working with your problems. It is listener-driven radio, so we take your calls. And Larry and I are talking about grass, but you want to talk about your rose bush, give us a call.
Roses, yes. Julia is growing.
Oh, good.
And I do want to move her perhaps today sometime.
Is this generally a good time of year to move?
Oh, sure. Yeah. It is. Just fine with the roses, yeah.
Okay.
It's time also, as they begin to grow, to, if you don't have your stuff to spray them, of course, a lot of the new ones don't need much of that anyway.
Right. But, still,
but anyway, just...
It's still not a bad idea if you go ahead and spray, even though it doesn't need it, right?
You want to be proactive on that. If the weather trends continue as they are, we'll have a lot of humid weather coming on this spring.
Okay.
And even the ones that are resistant to the black spot will succumb to it. So be prepared for that. Plant them in an area that gets good air circulation to begin with. Lots of sunshine. I do like to plant them away from... warm structures such as the west wall of the house, merely because that's where mites like to gather.
Mm-hmm.
And they spread. There is a species of mites that will spread the rosette's disease on your roses. So the old adage of planting them on the east side of the house is certainly a good advice.
Okay.
So try to avoid, see, the hot western face of the house. Mm-hmm. And if you do have to plant them on the west face of the house, perhaps plant something in between them and the house that doesn't get a lot of mites. And those are Nandinas.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you might want to consider planting them further away from the house if you have to go on the west side of the house. Or even an isolated bed in the yard somewhere perhaps would be a good place.
Okay, put it out there just as a display piece.
Mm-hmm. So they're just barely starting to grow. Those are exposed to the southern exposure. They're just now starting to grow. Mm-hmm. So your pruning should be out of the way at this point.
Okay, we have another call, and we'll say good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I have a climbing rose, sort of. Anyway, it gets taller than the house, but it's already started to grow.
Exactly.
You know? Uh-huh. Is it too late to move it?
No, not really. It'll be difficult. If it's as big as a house, it'll be very difficult to move.
Well, I just cut it back. I cut it back, like you said, last year, almost about 2 feet.
Yeah.
And it's growed again.
Well, that's what they're supposed to do. But anyway, moving it, it'll probably, how big around is the trunk anyway? Is as big as your trunk?
A couple inches.
How many, a couple inches across?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to be quite a challenge.
Okay.
To get that one moved, it's going to take a rather extensive excavation. To get something.
Well, I may just leave it there then.
Well, could she root prune it now and then move it in the fall or something?
You could do air layering. You can take one of the branches of it. Good
right,
shot, Charlie.
I may just start another one off of it.
Yeah, you can do that. Now, a lot of them are grafted, so it might not do as well as the one you have now. They put
right, it's supposed to be a pink lemonade.
Oh, okay. I believe that one is a grafted rose, I believe. So.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
All right. Give it a shot.
Nobody gets to see it but myself. And I thought, I'm going to move it around on the west side, but maybe I'll leave it here.
If it's doing very well where it is,
it is.
I would probably, sometimes, okay. Sometimes no change is better.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Uh-huh. Good idea to put it where somebody else can see it, though. If particularly it's like that one with the pink lemonade because it is a nice display rose.
Right. So, it is pretty, too. I'm envisioning the colors. It's mm-hmm. really, really attractive plant, little pink and yellow. It's kind of nice. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, roses, golly, it's kind of time to be proactive, too. It's almost time to begin fertilizing them. I wouldn't do it quite yet. You don't want to spur on a lot of growth this early because it could get nipped.
Okay.
It's going to get rather chilly coming up here.
If the mm-hmm. caller did want to try to move it and do it, would it be best to root prune it now and then move it to later in the year? Would that do some of what she was trying to do?
Yeah, root pruning is always good. It does get the plant accustomed to having a somewhat diminished root system.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But one that's been around that long, is the likelihood of it surviving is somewhat remote.
For sure.
So you might want to consider perhaps getting another one just like it.
Yeah, and that is that something that a rose that you have or could get for her?
We could probably get her one.
Okay.
Yeah. A lemonade climber, mm-hmm. pink lemonade climber. We probably get one somewhere.
Okay.
And just have a, instead of having, just have two.
Oh, double your pleasure, double your fun. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
800-749-5936. We will continue with Green Country Gardener when we take this break, and we will take your phone call on the other side.
Have you got the winter blues? Make your home feel like summer with tropical plants from Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Green Thumb, as you know, is the home to the largest selection of tropical plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nevada Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
If you work or live in the downtown area and are experiencing difficulty at times to find a place to park, worry no more. There is downtown parking available at 2nd and Osage that's convenient to downtown businesses and apartments. For more information and monthly rates, call 336-1001. That's 336-1001.
One theft every 6.5 minutes.
156 thefts every day. Car thieves appreciate all the help they can get, so here's a shout out to the more than 57,000 drivers who admittedly made it easy for the thieves last year. 57,000 who left the keys in their vehicle and had it stolen. A 22% increase in just a year. Old habits die hard, and thieves can't help themselves, especially when it's so easy. So why is it so difficult for some people to turn off the car, take the key or the fob, and lock it up before they walk away? Turn off the ignition and lock your vehicle every time you get out. Don't leave keys or fobs inside. Put all valuables out of sight in the trunk or take them with you. Lock it before you leave it. Don't make it easy for the thief. If you know something about vehicle theft or insurance fraud, call us at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
(800) 749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on the air with Larry Glass on this Saturday morning. And, of course, it is listener participation radio. We do encourage calls throughout the year. But
At the nursery?
Yes.
The geraniums are in the greenhouse.
Good.
And they're for your viewing, if you want to look at little baby geranium plants,
mm-hmm.
Our big old summer flower pots are being built right now at this point.
Good.
So the production's going on that. It's hard to believe. Here it is February, and we're already planning for April.
Well, yeah, you have to.
So when the time comes for then the middle of April for them to go out, then they're really nice, big-sized plants.
Mm-hmm.
So in the greenhouse, it gets we're strictly solar heat there during the day, and stuff just grows.
Sun does what it's supposed to do for us.
It's amazing. We got one that's not heated in the back. It's greenhouse 6.
Okay.
Greenhouse 6.
Yes.
It's not heated. And it gets amazingly warm in there with the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, solar heat really works.
Good.
So anyway, so they're coming up. We're starting to grow all kinds of perennials in the back. They're becoming available. We got succulents.
Okay.
Succulents are kind of an up-and-coming houseplant.
Yes, they are.
Because they kind of do nothing and you don't have to do anything to them.
They take a minimal amount of water.
Minimal amount of care.
Yeah.
And they're so many different varieties of those. We've got a lot of those, and real nice big ones, too.
And if you get a few of them, like the mimosa, where you touch it and it vanishes, you can just have a lot of fun playing with it, too. You know?
Right, and we ordered the shrubs to come in. We have to do this in October.
Right.
And then we get availabilities, and it's just something that's really cool. That we'll have it, put it on the booking. But, yeah, we got that all ready to go. We ordered that back in October, so that's coming up.
Wow,
the new shrubs are coming in. So,
okay,
a lot of preparation.
Anything new this year in the shrub business?
Not much.
Okay, we've talked about the firepower nandinas and some of the other small ones. And
there is a dwarf nine bark. I'm really fond of. It's you know what a standard nine bark is.
I think I do.
Well, I think I do.
I'll have to Google it and make sure, but I believe I do.
Nine bark physiocarpus is a plant that they have different leaf colors on them. And they have a purple leaf nine bark. There's a couple of them. There's the Diablo nine bark, which is a dark purple, and then there's a copper tone and some others. And they have interesting colored foliage, the dark purple color that people really like in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good against the white walls or something like that. Just a good color accent. And they're very hardy. They grow a little strange, though. You have to exercise a little bit of discipline on them.
Okay.
For them to maintain a good dense growth.
Wow.
And this miniature one stays very small. It's going to be a good substitute, for instance, for a purple barberry in the landscape, or even a purple pixie lauropetalum.
Wow. You said that very carefully.
I know. That's an alliteration.
Yes, it is.
It's difficult to say, purple pixie lauropetalum. But anyway, it's a good substitute for that because it stays kind of small. And I really like to use these in the landscape. Because of their ease of growth.
Mm-hmm.
The nine bark is resistant to about everything. And it's a deciduous plant, though.
Okay.
But it does have the advantage of some flowers in the spring. White blooms on them are kind of attractive, too. So, pretty cool plant.
All right.
Easy to grow and so on. And speaking of lauropetalums, I have one in the front yard on the west side, one in the backyard on the east side. Experimental kind of thing. They're doing great.
Okay.
Typically, lauropetalums are generally not... typically and generally are not grown in this area because mm-hmm. we're zone 6.5.
A little warm for them.
A little cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and winter, the likelihood of them having leaves on them throughout the winter is somewhat remote. However, this year, despite the cold weather we've had, they've exhibited leaves the entire winter.
Hmm.
So, pretty cool plants.
Yeah.
They're also known as the fringe flower. And they had these frilly-looking flowers on them, pink blooms on them in late spring.
Hmm.
So, or sporadically throughout the summer, whenever the weather shifts from 110 degrees down to 99, they'll put on a few blooms.
In the words of W.C. Fields, yes.
So the plants with leaves like purple leaves like that are becoming a bit more prominent in the landscape. There's some crepe myrtles too.
Mm-hmm.
That have this really dark purple leaf on them. And they come in a pink and a red and a white bloom. They're very attractive. Actually, the leaves are different. So it's kind of cool. I've used some as a backdrop plant on a commercial landscape last summer. It was very successful.
Good.
The purple leaf, it really popped out. So something different.
Yeah.
So that getting back to the new and different kind of shrubs, yes.
Okay. Well, I have to stop by the nursery and see what's new then.
Sure, cool. Check it out.
Right.
Boxwoods, too. There's a little baby gem, the baby jade boxwood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming almost a mainstay in the landscape because of its inability to get oversized in the landscape. And that's another plant that I'm specking out quite a bit on the landscape because people don't want to mess with cutting stuff back every year. It's a pain in the neck.
Sure.
And if you get something that doesn't do that, then they're not burdened by that thought, if you will, or even the process of doing it. So we try to, in our landscape compositions, we try to, as much as possible, get the plants that don't overstep their boundary, if mm-hmm. you will, in the landscape. For instance, don't put a variegated privet close to the front door.
It will.
They get huge.
And
I've seen
it
so many times, these purple, these variegated privet plants, 12 feet high, 3 feet away from the front door. It's just absolutely atrocious. So there's some plants you just don't use in places like that.
Mm-hmm. 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you into Larry Glass on this Saturday morning. We'll take your phone calls coming up in just a bit.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Back in the early 1930s, Frank and Jane Phillips hosted a wonderful party at their lodge home at Willow Rock. For this special party, Frank hired the world-famous magician Harry Blackstone to provide the entertainment for the large crowd. Throughout the evening, Blackstone amazed the guests with his card tricks and sleight of hand, with the crowd applauding and laughing as the tricks got better and better. Finally, Blackstone asked Jane Phillips to step forward. He reached into his coat and removed a new deck of cards and dramatically unwrapped them, removed the cards from the deck, and shuffled them several times. He then asked Mrs. Phillips to cut the cards, which she did, pulling the Queen of Spades, which she showed to the crowd. She put the card back into the deck, and Blackstone carefully shuffled the cards two or three times, then suddenly spun around and threw the entire deck of cards into the wall of the lodge, just to the left of the front door. 51 cards fell to the floor and the Queen of Spades stuck on the wall, where it still remains today. A perfect example of the magic of Willow Rock. Come see it for yourself and welcome home to Willow Rock.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Eight 800-749-5936. Locally, 918-336-1400. The telephone number that gets you in the front door telephonically to Larry Glass. And, of course, we always welcome phone calls on this program. We enjoy talking about whatever it is you want to talk about on the Green Country Gardener.
Okay. In the garden, what we need to be doing now, soil tests.
Yes.
If you're going to grow tomatoes, get that pH set just right.
Oh, yeah.
You bet. You remember 6.5 is the key number for those.
Okay.
That's what I've read and discovered and experimented with and have good luck with. Well, so it'll, my tomatoes, just don't worry. I don't know why.
We've spent whole summers talking about tomatoes in this program, yeah.
And earlier, so bit time to do that. Time for heavy pruning on a lot of your landscape plants. Time for moderate pruning on your fruit trees. At this point, middle of February, you should have your pruning done on your fruit trees. It should be done by then.
Okay.
And the peach leaf curl and disease control on your peach trees, you need to do that real soon.
Mm-hmm.
And also the dormant oil spray. That can be up until the end of February or so. And the peach leaf curl, you can do a post-bloom application of peach leaf curl, the copper fungicide, on your peach tree after the blooms are over with.
Okay.
So fertilization, that happens typically in September and April or so on your fruit trees, so you might consider that. So borer control, there are several ways to control borers. I like to use the...
Imidacloprid. No.
The timing is very important on that. You want to watch out for the bees. The spinosad. A topical application of spinosad, for me, has been successful in controlling borers on the fruit trees as well.
Okay.
So that and neem oil also.
Sure.
As an ongoing thing for your fruit trees, as the fruit matures on it, the neem oil does a good job of keeping little worms out of your fruit tree too. So.
Fruit looks better.
I hate that when you pick something and there's a little daggum little worm in there. And it makes you so mad because if the weather doesn't get them, the daggum worms do. And you're stuck with maybe a handful of fruit and you have to pick the worms out of it. That's just no fun.
Nope.
So anyway, what I do like about the neem oil is it's non-toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what we call a life cycle interrupter. For insects, they have this metamorphosis they go through, and it stops that. It's physiologically how that works. It also works at being an oil, a very light oil. It smothers them out, too. So you do have to be persistent with it, though. It's just not a spray it once and run away kind of thing. You got to go back and do it again on a fairly regular basis.
Okay.
And you do get control. You don't get annihilation. You get control. You're going to have a few of them that get through. So keep that in mind, too. When using insecticides,
the
fruit we get at the grocery store, which is perfect, that's like the 1 in 100 shot. The rest of it goes to apple cider or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll find it in applesauce and a few other places. Yeah.
We were visiting my parents in Florida at an orange grove, and one of the guys told me that. Said, "Yeah, we get 1,000 oranges in here, and only one goes into the select."
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the little plastic grass in it and all that, you know, the decorative things they ship out.
Right.
Just 1 in 1,000 goes to that. Okay. So it's kind of the same way with fruit. Most of it's ugly.
Send the rest of it down the street to Coke and they'll make Minute Maid orange juice out of it. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, so now it's getting to be a pretty heavy time for fruit trees. Pecan trees, not a whole lot going on with them right now. We just need to be aware of what's happening on the horizon with pecan trees.
Okay.
So fertilizer applications will be done pretty soon on those. You want to emphasize some zinc on your pecan trees. We have a caller.
We do. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Yes, about the pecan trees. Mm-hmm. Like this big pecan tree has made pecans, but they're no good.
Why is that?
Well, that's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, no good. Kind of a general term. Specifically, what's wrong with the pecans?
Okay, they'll be like in their greenhouse, and they keep falling off.
Oh, sounds like you've got perhaps this was last year, right?
Well, it's been the last several years.
Okay. Do you live in an area that has a fairly low elevation?
In Nowata.
Nowata. Okay. Well, a lot of times when that happens, it's a problem with a fungal disease, could be, or it could be a reason why I asked if you have a low elevation. During the time when they were in bloom, it could have been cold and you got very little, you know, proper pollination on them, too.
What fertilizer do you require?
Something with some zinc in it. We do carry at the nursery a fertilizer, a Southern Green Maker, which does have the elemental zinc in it that they do need. And you might, later on, as time goes on, you might get the extension agent's fact sheet on growing pecans. And,
okay.
And then do your insect applications at the right times.
Thank you.
The coddling moth is real bad about causing a lack of fruit production and so on. The insects are.
Okay. But right now, the application of fertilizer with zinc would help get things ready for
what? It'll help. It'll get some strength built up into the tree also. And it could be that maybe they're not very healthy, for instance. Look at the rate of growth on it. See how fast it's growing. And if it's not growing very fast, you might have a problem that could be soil-related, site-related, perhaps, or fertility-related, those kind of issues, if it's not really showing any good growth. And it could be the tree is just old.
Sorry to say, it happens.
It don't last forever.
Yeah. But the springtime, I know you typically will recommend application of things like lime sulfur, and, of course, neem oil works real well for pecan trees.
But the pecan trees are so big, it's difficult to apply all these things.
Yeah, you're spraying mostly air for all the tree you hit. Mm-hmm.
So you need to get one of these great big old gasoline-powered sprayers, or in Kevin's case, maybe a turbocharged diesel-powered one.
Could be.
So, golly, a lot going on at the nursery, a lot of new stuff coming in, but kind of quiet right now.
Yep.
It's been kind of frozen. And we're going to wake up here pretty soon. We're getting the shop all ready for this spring. Mm-hmm. New organic chemicals are getting in, so you can safely do your gardening without causing much harm, peripheral damage to other things. So anyway, Charlie, it's a good time to get things planted in the ground, good time to work that soil, and time to sharpen that shovel. We'll see you next week.
We'll do it again next week with Larry Glass on Green Country Gardener on a Saturday morning. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week for another edition of Green Country Gardener. Insure your home, car, boat, health, life, and business all at one place. Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460, KWON Bartlesville, K227-CQ Bartlesville.